Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee and Keys on the Special Friday Night Edition. Actually, I can't even say Special Friday Night. We actually been doing Fridays for the last 3 weeks now. But, you know, we're here tonight ready to kick it with you. What's going on, Keys?
Man, I just want to say I love Friday night. I love the Friday night show. So go figure, like, past 3 weeks, like, every one of those shows, we got off the air, and I was like, wow, that was a damn good show. Like, I don't know what it is, if it's just, like, that end-of-the-week effect or what, but Friday shows, I like the Friday shows, man. I won't lie.
It's different, but, you know, it's cool. You know, on Friday nights, actually, I really don't have a lot going on no more. So, you know, I'm normally home chilling. So it's good to talk with my boy Keys, you know, get to talk some MMA, you know, some boxing. We were just talking about some wrestling just a minute ago. But I'm going to have to see what's going on with Sami Zayn and his belt because, you know, normally I'd be watching something on the TV, but everybody decided they want to be home tonight. So I'm actually outside of my garage right now. So, yeah. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, man. I've been a little bit more in touch with the wrestling lately. I do pay a bit more attention so I can be able to keep up with y'all when you know, sometimes we have our friend Rodney on here and he talked about wrestling and usually I don't know what they're talking about, so for me to keep up a little bit, I got to pay attention here and there, stay in the loop a little bit so I can catch up with these guys.
Yeah, man. There's a lot going on in the world of wrestling, man. You got Raw, then you got Impact on Tuesdays, then on Wednesdays you got AEW or NXT, and then on Thursday on YouTube you got NWA, which I really don't watch. And then Friday, you got SmackDown. And then this weekend, you got NXT TakeOver War Games. And then you got Survivor Series. So there's a lot going on in wrestling, man. But, you know, man, I got to jump right into it, man, and ask you about this, man. Today on the news that John Jones will be defending his belt February 8th in Houston against Dominique Reyes. How do you feel about that?
Actually, you just broke that news to me because I actually didn't know about that. So, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, you're the official news breaker now, Lee. I actually didn't know, so thank you. You might as well be Dana White.
Well, he actually the one that said it. He actually broke the news today. I want to shout ESPN that on February 8th, John Jones will be defending the cancel. Against Dominique Reyes, and the co-main event will be Shevchenko versus Caitlin Chikugin. So those are the main and co-main events for UFC. I don't even know the number right now, but it's
I would think that's 247 because you have 245 in December, and then yeah, so that's got to be 247 because you pretty much have one card a month right now.
Yeah. Okay.
It's got to be.
Yeah, so that makes...
yeah it's looking like, I'm going to answer your question, not to get, I don't want to throw it off track. Well, yeah, that's pretty exciting. I mean, I had seen it in the description. You wrote it in here, and I actually wasn't sure about it. I had seen it, but until you just said it, I really didn't know that Dana White had officially announced it. And then I did see about the Shevchenko fight, and I didn't know that those two were going to go on the same card. So that makes that really that makes that even that much better too, because I do like watching Shevchenko's fights lately. She's really been putting on some really impressive performances and dominant victories. So that with the Jones fight is going to be a nice pair of title fights to top off that card in February. That's going to be really crazy. The Jones and Reyes, I figured that was going to be, I'm not surprised because Jones kind of told us on Twitter that he said, I'm going to be beating his ass next, you know, so he kind of told us that like, you know, about a week or so ago. So we kind of knew that was going to be coming, just a matter of when. But yeah, that's a cool fight. I mean, we already talked about this before, but I really don't think Reyes has anything to beat John Jones. I never really saw anything of, I never saw him do anything impressive in terms of his ground game. I really never saw any jujitsu from him or never even saw any takedowns from him either. I don't think I've ever seen him take a guy down in any of his fights. Not that I really have seen all his fights, but every one I've seen, I never saw him even shoot for a takedown. So I really don't think he has anything that can beat John Jones. I mean, he's has some pretty good striking. You know, he was able to – I remember I did watch his fight with Ovin St. Preux. You know, that was a while back at this point. That was probably like 2 years ago. But I did watch his fight. That was the first time I saw Reyes, and that was when I was impressed with him versus Ovin St. Preux. So he does have good striking. OSP is a game fighter, but he was able to outclass him. And, you know, that, I mean, but then again, just being a good striker really isn't enough for John Jones. That Reyes is just another guy who is coming into that fight, and his big claim to victory is to land a knockout. And going in there, banking on knocking out John Jones is kind of like, man, I mean, that's kind of just – it's like chasing rainbows, man. You know, it's never going to happen. Like, that is so – it's such an unlikely thing, you know. And it's the same thing when – it's like Mayweather. I always say it. It's like Jones is like Mayweather. Every time they have a fight, a guy goes in there and you think that he's going to knock him out, and you can't knock him out. So that's just what that is. I've never even seen John Jones get knocked down in a fight. I'm not sure that – I mean, then again, I haven't seen all his fights, but I've never even seen him get knocked down. So, nah, Reyes has nothing for Jones for me. I mean, I'll like watching him lose, and he'll get humbled, and then he'll go back down. But, I mean, cool that they made the fight. Jones probably going to win that one, and then his next one after that, I bet, will be at heavyweight.
I think he'll fight two more times at light heavyweight. I think he'll fight if he beat Reyes. I think he'll turn around and fight Corey Anderson, and then he'll fight a returning Thiago Santos before he goes up to heavyweight. I think Santos deserves a second crack at John Jones, but I really don't see Reyes doing anything in the octagon that would really scare Jones, unless he actually catches him and makes John retreat a little bit. But I think if he catches John, that'll only wake him up, and it'll make John wrestle him instead of trying to stand up with him. And I think if John wrestles him, it's over. I don't think Reyes can handle John's wrestling. And when John is on top of you, he doesn't look to ground and pound you. He looks to punish you with elbows. And I really don't see Reyes surviving that. I think John... The biggest issue we have with John Jones now as fans is he motivated? You know, because now it seems like he's just fighting because he has to. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like he's fighting because he wants to. It's like he's just fighting the next guy. So it's like, are these guys really challenges to him? On paper, I'll say no. I'll say on paper, everybody has a chance on paper, but what do they do in the octagon that'll really scare him? I think Thiago Santos is the only guy as of late to actually challenge John both physically and mentally inside the octagon. I don't see Reyes really doing that. I think if John comes out and really wants to put on a show, he would get Reyes out of there probably in the second or third round via TKO, probably take him down, elbow on the depth, the ref stop it. So I think he has three more fights at light heavyweight. I'll say Reyes, Corey Anderson, and then a returning Thiago Santos. So that was big news that came out today. And then I'm going to go back to something that you tweeted at me earlier about Floyd Mayweather coming out of retirement. What you got to say about that?
And that was another one that I actually didn't see that news come out. Someone said that to me, but I really didn't even see that news when it came out. Someone sent that to me, and then I sent said it to you. But I've been missing everything lately. I feel like I haven't been seeing any news. I mean, like, everybody else is seeing the news. I'm just hearing about it later. So I've really been out the loop. But if you're gonna say out of retirement, that would mean that you're coming out of retirement as a fighter. But if you're coming out of business retirement, that doesn't even really make sense to me, because if you're coming out of retirement to be in the business side of boxing, and he's already in the business. The Mayweather Promotions he's already still doing that. So I don't even know what, I don't really understand the out of retirement quote that is there. Unless he's going to fight, I really don't see how he's coming out of retirement. If he's just going to work with Dana White on making a card, and he's going to do the two for boxing, Mayweather Promotions, and they're going to, put together events together, maybe he's going to sign a deal with Zuffa Boxing. I really don't understand how that constitutes him coming out of retirement. He's really just making a new business venture. So I really don't that doesn't really move the needle with me. I mean, it's cool. I'm not surprised, because, Dana White, I mean, I'd work with him. If I was Mayweather, I'd work with Dana White, because he's, the UFC is getting really big, and Dana White knows. He knows the fights to make. He finds the prospects, and I feel like he's a good businessman. So if I was somebody, and I'd work with Dana White. So that, I think it's a good move for Floyd.
And then when you tweeted that at me, I said that I think that he's coming back to be a promoter. And I tweeted also in that tweet that I think if he's coming to be a promoter, it all depends on how it goes. Is he going to promote certain fighters, or is he going to help the UFC promote fights, or how does it go? I think if he's going to help promote fighters, then that could be good for the fighters, as I think it'll actually, Floyd will probably make them more money. But at the same time, I also said I think it could be bad, because Floyd is known for dodging fights. And I think if he was known to dodge fights in his boxing career, would he advise UFC fighters to dodge fights? And right now in the UFC, we kind of sort of look at certain guys as dodging certain guys. But for the most part in the UFC, guys fight guys, girls fight girls, they're supposed to fight, and the spirit of competition is alive in the UFC, whereas in boxing, that's a different story. So I think if Floyd coming to help the UFC with promotions, it could be good and bad. I think if he was to work with the UFC as far as promotion, that would be good. But if he was to work with fighters, certain fighters as a promoter, if I was the UFC, I'd be weary.
Yeah, that's understandable, because if you were to have, now that I think of it that way, it's like if you were to have Floyd as your mentor and, be, like if he was like a manager or something like that, and he had like his own, if he had fighters like under his wing type of deal, you make a good point where, he kind of cherry picked in his career, then would he just advise guys to do that? And then you would not, it would become more like boxing, where you really only see, where you don't really get to, you don't really see the fights that you want to see. You end up seeing, Tyson Fury fighting these no-name guys that, it's really a mismatch, instead of seeing, Tyson Fury fighting Anthony Joshua, you know, a fight that a lot of people would have wanted to see instead.
Yeah, man. We'll see how it go. You know, I'm quite sure there'll be more news to come on that. It was just a picture of Floyd, and it's saying coming out of retirement in 2020. I doubt if he's coming out to fight, but we never know. Maybe behind the scenes, him and Pacquiao rematch is being worked. But I know Errol Spence wanted to fight Pacquiao, but Errol Spence was recently in a car accident. So maybe Floyd sees a way of coming in and making some money by rematching Floyd, Manny Pacquiao. So we really don't know how that's going to go. We'll follow it closely, and we'll keep the fans up to date on it and give our opinion as necessary on Floyd Mayweather coming out of retirement in 2020.
And I know they were trying to make that fight for – they were trying to – excuse me. They were trying to make that fight. I want to say I heard about it last year or the year before, the rematch. And is Pacquiao a world champion?
Yes. He just beat Keith Thurman about four months ago.
And he won, and he took a belt off Thurman. He was already a champion, right? But he took a belt off Thurman in that fight too, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, Pacquiao is like I want to say 2 or 3 weight. Maybe with boxing, it could be even 4 weight world champion at this point, because there's more belts that I don't know about, more weight classes and stuff like that. The guys are fighting, and I don't realize when fights are title fights. You know, boxing doesn't always really promote things as a title fight. It kind of just seems like a big fight, and you really don't know what title is on the line. That's one thing I don't like about it, is that you don't really know. They don't really promote the title itself. They promote the fight, and then you find out that, like, the one, you know, there's like four, you know, six belts on the line or something like that. And that's just another thing that confuses me about boxing. But I mean, for Pacquiao, if it were to happen, that puts a lot on the line, a lot there for Floyd to be interested, to grab, you know, in a win. It puts a lot there for him to, so if he's like a 22-time world champion or something, if I want to say he has like 22 world titles, you know, if he could win like, you know, four titles, I don't know how that works, but if Pacquiao is like a multi-division champ and he would beat a multi-division champ, you know, that would be a big fight for him. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about something that happened last weekend. But before I get into it, I got to say I loved your article on Jacare moving up to light heavyweight. It was a good read, very informative. But then he goes in there and takes off the fourth and fifth rounds against Bukovic, and he loses. I really thought Jacare had a chance of breaking the 185 up the 205 streak, but it seems that he thought he had the fight in the bag, whereas if you watch the fight, I think if he would have won either rounds four or rounds five, he would have won the fight. But he looked like he took round four and round five off, and he ended up losing the fight. What did you think of Jacare's performance at 205?
Honestly, I really wasn't impressed with it. I mean, it was kind of disappointing for me. I actually spraying some lavender. I love lavender. I actually wasn't impressed with it. You know, it was very – I actually stopped watching it at the end of the fourth round and actually left. I think I actually shut it off too, because I was just, like, really bored with the fight. Jacare, like, really had almost no offense. Like, I really didn't know, like, what he was trying to do. And then it seemed like, Blachowicz. Blachowicz was just kind of landing. Yeah, Blachowicz was just like definitely landing a lot of strikes from distance, because, you know, they definitely had – there was definitely a big difference between the striking there. But Kovic was landing a lot more than Jacare. He was landing a lot of distance strikes. Jacare was just kept trying to get Bukovic in the clinch. I just didn't understand what Jacare was trying to do. Like, I feel like he could have took him down or something like that. I mean, he's really not that much bigger than you, so I don't know. I mean, I feel like Jacare might have been scared of it, like, or just trying to be cautious of Bukovic's power, being the way he did Luke Rockhold in his last fight. But you know, that could be. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like Jacare could have did a lot more in the fight, and I thought he was losing the fight going into the championship round. So another reason why I shut it off, because my article still stands, even though I'm really not impressed with his performance. But I still think he's great for the division, and that I still think that's just one fight, and I think he will stay in the division. And I think we'll be impressed with what he does going forward. He's going to have some good moments at 205 for sure.
I think the UFC has to put him – I wouldn't have put him in there against a top five guy. I probably would have put him in there against maybe a fringe top 10 guy, because if you look at the track record of the guys that came up from 185 to 205, they really haven't looked good. Rockhold knocked out, Wyman knocked out, you know, so – I would have had him fight like a fringe top 10 guy, and then maybe had him fight somebody within the top 10 instead of putting him in there against a top 5 guy. I understand Jacare has a name, but at the same time, your body has to get acclimated to fighting at a new weight. You just can't think that a guy's going to come in at 185 and possess the same skill set that they had at 185, and it's going to be better at 205. Their body isn't used to, you know, that weight, you know, fighting at that weight. I thought Jacare looked kind of sluggish. I thought his game plan was definitely flawed. I didn't like the way he was trying to stand and bang. You could tell a couple times that when Bukovic would hit him, he felt it. So it was like, okay, you feel the guy power. Use your jiu-jitsu. You know him as being a jiu-jitsu and a guy that can submit their opponent. Take him down. See what he can do off his back. And he never did that, not one time. He kept trying to fight him in the clinch. And every time off the clinch, it was like Bukovic was just pushing him off and then tag him like with a jab and a right hook. And then you'll see Jacare looking stunned like, What can I do? What can I do? And then, you know, we don't speak Spanish, so we really don't know what his corner was telling him to do. And I just think he had a flawed game plan. His game plan just seemed flawed to me, and he got exposed. I think he'll probably stay at 205, but whether or not he'll be a good fit for the division, we'll see. We will just have to see whether or not he would do what works for him. I think him trying to stand the bang is a bad formula for him to win. I think him switching it up, part grappler, part striker, also using the clinch. I think he has to mix all that into his game. And when you do that, your opponent is thinking so much about, okay, what is he going to do now? Is he going to try to take me down? Is he going to stand with me? Do I got to defend the clinch? You know, you got to put seeds of thought into your opponent's mind. And I think he never made Bukovic think not one time, was played to Bukovic's advantage. I think Bukovic is a guy that we need to keep our eye on. I wouldn't mind seeing him fight Anthony Smith next. I don't know whether or not they already fought, but I don't think they have. So I wouldn't mind seeing him fight Anthony Smith next, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Jacare, if you I just don't understand because, like you were saying, and it seemed like we were having a similar assessment of Jacare's game plan in the fight. I just didn't understand why he was not trying to shoot and take Błachowicz down. Like he could have did that in the first round, or go through the first round, let Błachowicz get his shots off, let him wear himself out, because you know he's gonna, you know, he's mainly a striker, so let him wear himself out in the first round, and open up the second round, shoot, take him down, you know you can, and see what he can do, you know, off his back. And Jacare, you know, easily could have had like a second, maybe third round. I easily could have seen a second, maybe third round submission if he would have go that route instead of trying to land shots from the clinch or whatever he was trying. I don't even know what he was trying to do because he really wasn't even landing any good shots in the thing. I don't even know what he was trying to do with that. But I just wish that he would have just done the things that we know he does best. I just don't understand. And then, like, you know, I did a lot of research on him, and I learned some really really interesting things that I didn't know about him. And, you know, he used to compete in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu competitions, and he was actually really good in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And then he actually moved over to MMA, I want to say it was 2004. And I had it in my article. He actually was in the finals of a Jiu-Jitsu championship with Roger Gracie, and Gracie actually broke his arm in the fight, and then Jacare actually kept fighting and then ended up winning the fight in a decision, which is actually pretty crazy. So I was really surprised. I was really, like, impressed when I read that, because a lot of guys you see now, they get injured in a fight and you know, they might tell their corner, and then they wave the flag, you know, which is understandable, but it's just like, it's just a warrior thing to do, to go in and just not even acknowledge it. Like, yeah, I might have broke my foot, or, you know, my arm is broken, or, you know, I think I might have tore something in my shoulder, but I'm still going to throw this right hand. Like, stuff like that is always impressive to me, so I can make some examples, but I don't want to get too off track. I still think Jacare will do well, and we'll see. You know, I think Anthony Smith and Santos, you know, are the only middleweights that have moved up in the past, you know, year that the trend has been really going on. Them two moved up and really had a lot of success. You know, Smith's only loss at light heavyweight is to John Jones. I believe Santos only lost to the light heavyweight, John Jones. So yeah, those guys pretty much, like, dominated everybody they fought. And then we saw it. It's not like Błachowicz is really – Santos dusted Błachowicz, if we're being honest. Like, if you go back and watch the fight, Santos got him out of there. And I want to say it was the second round. So it's not like – yeah, Błachowicz might have power because – he's probably a bit bigger, and then he cuts down. He might be like 230 pounds or something like that. So, you know, naturally he packs more power, but I still feel like Jacare underestimated his own hands and his own ability, his own boxing in there. And it's not like Santos has a lot of power, but Jacare's got power. We've seen him, you know, knock guys down with his striking. You know, he may do he might be great in jiu-jitsu, but he does have hands too. So I don't know. I think the good thing they did with Smith and Santos, they kind of built them up slowly. And like you said, they let them take guys who are a bit lower ranked, not giving them these championship level fighters. I know Smith fought like Shogun Hua, was like one of the guys he fought, like one of his first fights coming into the division. And there was a couple other guys, too, that Smith fought before he fought Jones. I know he fought Vulcan, but that was his third or fourth fight, and then he fought Jones. But I know, like, he fought Shogun and at least one other guy that was, like, either 10 to 15 ranked before he took, like, a – okay, yeah, right. So, but see, there, like, they at least let him work his way up versus guys who weren't, you know, top level guys, and then let him see and get and really build that confidence in the division and really let his body get adjusted to the weight, to jump in weight that he did. So, and the same thing with Santos. If you go look at Santos, they worked his way before he fought Blachowicz. Blachowicz was there was a fight before he took Jones, but there was at least one or two, maybe three other fights he took with lower level guys before he fought Blachowicz. So they just built them up in a different way, and it was better. They didn't try to throw guys in there versus championship level guys, you know. But there's reasons for that. But if we go into that, that's a whole nother spiel. So I don't want to get into that. But I just think let Jacare fight like a, you know, guy between 10 and 15.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So I know you haven't been on Twitter lately, so I'm going to read you this tweet that came out earlier this week, and I need you to react to it because you are this guy's probably one of his biggest fans, and I think you are probably falling out of light with this guy because of his shenanigans here lately. So this tweet came out the other day, and it reads, Conor McGregor's manager says talks are progressing for a Donald Cerrone comeback fight on January 18th. And the key words that I want to emphasize on, talks progressing. Now, we are, I want to say, 8 weeks out from January 18th. According to Mr. McGregor, I want to say right before 2:44, he said that him and the fighter had agreed to fight on a date. And I came out and I said I didn't believe it. I thought it was bogus. And I caught a lot of flack on Twitter saying that Conor was promoting the fight because the fight was going to be made. And then me and you talked about this last week, that why hasn't an announcement been made? So let's double down on this. Will there be a Conor McGregor fight on January 18th? Yes or no, and why?
Well, if you just look at the way, so I do think there will be, I do think that he will fight on January 18th. The reason why, and it's more clear after what we just talked about on this show, and what it was, is if you look at the way Dana White has kind of like set things in motion in a certain way, and you know, I could be like really looking into it. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but the fact that he just announced the John Jones fight, and he just announced the Shevchenko and Caitlin's fight, or Catlin's fight, and both of those, if you notice, they skipped the January card and they went to February. And usually the UFC, at least last year, they do like to open up the year with a bang. If you recall from last year, well, actually earlier this year in 2019, they opened the year. Well, it just so happened that the first card of the year was the first card on ESPN. So, but it was also the top of the year. So they had the Henry Cejudo and Dillashaw fight, and Dillashaw moved down to 125. So it was kind of like a champion versus champion kind of fight in a way, even though one bout was on the line. And then there was a couple other crazy fights. I think like Greg Hardy fought, and there was like a bunch of other cool fights on that card. But anyways, they always try to open up the year with a bang. And that card, I feel like, went really well, and it got a lot of attention. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to do that this year. And just the way that they placed John Jones and Shevchenko on the February card almost seems like to me that they kind of sectioned off that January card for some reason. And I think they are waiting it out to see if this fight gets done. So, yes, I do think McGregor will fight on January 18th. I just don't want to hear about, like, I just want to see it done, though. I do believe it. I just don't want to, like, see, I don't pay attention to him, like, tweeting about it and stuff like that. Because, like, I'm not trying to be egged on and then him not fight. But I do believe he'll fight. I just don't want to see the propaganda.
I think the UFC was strategic in putting John Jones and Shevchenko on the February 8th card in Houston, because I don't think you can sell Shevchenko versus Caitlin as a main event when Shevchenko has been so dominant as a champion in her division. So I think that's why they put Reyes and Jones on the same card as Shevchenko, because Shevchenko and Jones have been dominant champions, and I don't think you can sell that one championship fight as a pay-per-view when they've both been so dominant. So I think that's why they're on the same card. I think if the UFC really does do this fight for Conor on January 18th, I think it's going to feel rushed. Because somebody said that he's probably going to make the announcement the week of UFC 245, which will put us 6 weeks out from January 18th. And a lot of people from Europe like to come and watch Conor fights. I think you put them, you give them a disservice when you try to promote the fight 6 weeks out versus the normal when they do a Conor fight where they promote it for like up to 2 months. So that's one reason why I feel like it isn't going to happen. But at the same time, you never know. We've seen weirder things happen. And I also think the UFC probably wants to get him in the cage before all his legal action comes up, because I was listening to MMA Tonight the other day, and he has some very serious accusations waged against him, and I think the UFC will probably want to get him in the cage before the end so that, you know, they can make a little bit of money off of him and also probably put some money in his pocket for his legal fees. So I think there's a lot of things working that could get the fight to happen, but I think there's a lot of things working that is going to feel rushed also. I don't think you will have a big Ireland-based fan base if they make the announcement at 2:45, you know, in the week of 2:45. I think you will have a lot of people scrambling. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be taken into consideration with a Conor McGregor fight, and I think the UFC is either thinking about that, and that's why they haven't announced it, or the UFC just isn't on board with this January 18th fight. We'll just see how it goes, man. It's just a lot of moving parts right now, a lot of he say, she say, but until the UFC makes the announcement and we see a poster, I think the fight doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's fine with me, because it's, you know, that's pretty much where I'm at with it too. I mean, I hope that it happens, and I do believe that it's a possibility that it does. And but at the same time, like I said, I'm not here to be egged on about the fight and have, you know, that's one thing that I don't like McGregor has done a lot lately is these tweets. And you said this on one of our shows recently about how a lot of his tweets, he kind of says things and kind of hypes us up. His fans gets his fans all hyped up for something. And then he doesn't show up, you know, and nothing actually happens. So, you know, gets us talking about it, and then nothing actually pops off. So I'm kind of just all set with that, and I'm not buying into all that. That's why I really don't even, like, pay attention to it. It is
to me, it is what you said. What you said is until we see a fight poster, then you don't believe it. For me is I believe it, but I only want to see a fight poster. I'm not trying to see reports on MMA Junkie saying that the fight talks are progressing. I don't care about all that. Like, I don't want to see reports and all this stuff. Like, we see that a lot, okay? There's a lot of that in the MMA media, which reports and we're in talks of this and this. And there's a lot of stuff that never comes to fruition. That there's a lot of reports that don't come to fruition. So what I just want to see is a fight poster. So there's a fight poster. I'm not obsessing over that fight. It is what it is. I hope it happens, but if it doesn't, oh well. If it doesn't happen, we still got my boy Tyron Woodley versus Leon Edwards, and I'm pretty sure that's going to happen on the January 8th card. So that what we have to look forward to. And I know you'll be excited for that one too, because it's going to be a great fight.
If that fight happens, I will be thoroughly surprised, because I really don't think Woodley wants to fight Edwards, man. I really don't think that's the fight that he really wants. I think Woodley wants somebody that's more in his wheelhouse, as far as somebody he can dominate on the feet and possibly dominate on the mat if it came to that. I don't think he can dominate Edwards on the feet. I think Woodley will have to be a wrestler against Edwards in this fight, because Edwards is so tricky with his striking. He kind of reminds me of John Jones when he was coming up through the first time he cleaned out a division, whereas he was very effective with elbow strikes, very quick in the clinch, and his jab was so precise. I think Woodley is taking this fight because he's looking for a quick way back to the belt. And I think this is a very dangerous fight for him, man. If this fight does happen, my hat's off to Woodley for being for taking on a guy that nobody really wants to fight right now. So it'll definitely be an interesting fight. But I think Woodley would need to go back to the Woodley we saw when he was chasing the belt. Don't be the Woodley we saw when you was a champ. I think the Woodley that we saw as a champ was not hungry. I think he was satisfied. He wasn't as aggressive as a fighter. And to me, it was like I really didn't recognize him sometimes in his fights when he was a champ, except Darren Till. I think that's the only fight where he came out and he was aggressive with his hands and he was on his toes. That's the only fight I think that was actually exciting and why he was a champ. So I think Edwards would make him fight a fight. I don't think he would let Woodley, be boring in the cage. I think he'll keep Woodley thinking. And hey, that's a good fight if it happens. It could be a great fight if it happens.
Yeah, if it doesn't happen, that's okay. But I just want to see him fight again. I do think he will, though. If they don't make that one, I do think he will. Either he'll get on the John Jones card, or he'll get on, the March card. Usually in March, April, they usually put together a big card. UFC 223 was, I think, the last one. I forget. Yeah, UFC. And then there was the one Khabib fought. I can't say that. It's usually in April they usually have a really big card, too. So I think Woodley will probably try to get more into the spring around that time if they don't get the January fight, and maybe he can, I wanted to see him fight RDA, but now I just saw on Twitter actually earlier today, and this will probably get you talking a bit because I meant to tell you this. I was at work earlier and I saw that this tweet when I was on break, and I saw RDA and Michael Chiesa were tweeting at each other. RDA tweeted at him and said, "I'll see you on," I forget what date, but they're fighting. RDA is fighting Michael Chiesa. Yeah, so those two guys are fighting. So I guess that kind of takes RDA out of the mix to fight Woodley that I would have wanted to see. But you know who I would want to see Woodley fight is Ponzinibbio. I still would want to see Woodley fight Ponzinibbio. So that would probably be the next one that I would go to if they don't make the Edwards fight. I would say Woodley and Ponzinibbio.
Yeah, I think Ponzinibbio is a one-trick pony, though. I think he only can stand in vain. So I don't see him posing a threat to Woodley because of Woodley's wrestling. So I really don't see Ponzinibbio being that big of a threat to Woodley because he's a one-trick pony. But it all depends on what Woodley we get. Do we get the Woodley that fought the way he fought as a champion, or do we get the Woodley that was hungry to win the belt? If it's the Woodley that we get prior to winning the belt, he runs through Ponzinibbio with no problems because he will strike him, take him down, strike him, take him down, and then probably knock him out. When Ponzi goes for the faint takedown and he hits him with an overhand right or right hook and he drops him and then finishes him. But it all depends on which Woodley we get, but I don't see Ponzinibbio being that big of a threat to Woodley.
Yeah, I mean, I just really want to see Ponzinibbio fight too, so regardless of whether he was a threat, I just want to see both of those guys because, you know, this is the Woodley fan club, and what better time to get the Woodley fan club pulling up to the shore and you have Ponzinibbio coming back at the same time, because I've been waiting for Ponzinibbio and we really haven't seen him fight in a long time. The last time you saw Ponzinibbio fight was when he fought Neil Magny, and that was a while ago.
That's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't even know. That might have been last year. I don't even know if that was this year.
It's been a while.
Yeah, so that would just be cool to have both of those two guys. If not that, I mean, there's a lot of other fights at welterweight too. I mean, Woodley, you know, aside from Woodley, I would actually want to see. Aside from Woodley, actually, this is one that I'd want to see because you have Nico Price. So I've been following Nico Price for a while now, and I'm pretty sure he was in a different division before. I don't think he was always at welterweight. I want to say he moved up to welterweight or he moved down or something, because I was watching Nico Price like about a year ago before he started really like doing well in the last couple of fights, and I really want to see Nico Price fight Mike Perry. That would be a really good welterweight fight, I think. You know, those two guys. And there's one other guy at welterweight that I think has been doing. Mike Perry's fighting Geoff. I'm not sure how to say that name, but
Jeff
he's fighting Neil. Yeah, Jeff. Mike Perry's fighting him, I'm pretty sure. So, and that guy, Neil, is really good, too. That's a good fight. But I want to see, like, one of those two guys, maybe have the winner of that fight Nico Price, because those three guys are on fire lately. And then you also have the guy who just fought Stephen Thompson. You know, Stephen Thompson pretty much dominated him. But he still – that doesn't take away, though, Vicente Luque. Or Luque, you know, that doesn't take away, you know, losing to Stephen Thompson in a striking match really does not take away anything. But, Stephen Thompson, that's another one. I'd want to see Stephen Thompson get a big – or maybe even have Stephen Thompson fight Ponzinibbio. That would be a good one.
There's a lot of fights in the welterweight division right now, man. There's a lot of fights. I could go on for a while really just making matchups because there's a lot of good fights out there.
I think Pozniewski and Stephen Thompson will be a better fight because Stephen Thompson don't look to wrestle much. He basically looks to counter-strike. So I think that would probably be a better fight for Pozniewski only because of the fighting styles. I think Stephen Thompson changes angles and uses footwork very effectively. So Pozniewski, he could be at a disadvantage because of the reach of Stephen Thompson. And Pozniewski really is a guy that needs to close space to be effective. So, yeah, I like Pozniewski versus Stephen Thompson more than I like Woodley versus Pozniewski.
Yeah, hopefully we can get, like, that fight and then, you know, see what happens with Platinum Perry and Neil. And then maybe, you know, the winner of that fight or winner or the loser, really. I don't even care because that Perry fight, Perry and Neil, is going to be such a fun fight that really it doesn't matter who wins or loses because both those guys are warriors. So, really, you could have the winner or the loser fight Nico Price, and the winner could fight, like, maybe Robbie Lawler because – I really think Robbie Lawler, like, have him stop fighting these up-and-coming guys who really like to stand and bang. Like, that would really be his, you know, Mike Perry. That'd really be a way of – that would be like Lawler giving back. He's kind of like, all right, let me, like, you know, give these young guys a shot. You know, they think these young guys coming up now. Let me give them a you know, the biggest fight of their career. So that would just be a really cool thing if Robbie Lawler would give one of those guys a shot. Now, I know Mike Perry had called him out, like, about a couple of years ago, and everybody said he was crazy because he was, you know, too low-ranked and stuff like that. But I don't know. Now, man, it's starting to look more and more realistic as the time goes on. You know, Lawler is not, you know, he's not – I don't think he's that high-ranked anymore. And, you know, given he hasn't looked – you know, incredible lately. I mean, he did slam Ben Askren, like, on his head, and he almost had a TKO in that fight, which I think the fight should have been stopped. I think Lawler actually beat Askren before the submission happened. Now, I think the fight would have been stopped, depending on the referee, but Lawler's been okay. I mean, he got dominated by RDA, but, you know, he's just been in and out, and I still think it'd be a fun fight, Lawler and Mike Perry.
I mean, Lawler, you know, I think right now at this point in his career, he needs to figure out, does he want to be a champion again? If he doesn't want to be a champion again, there's no need to stay in the game. There's no need to stay in the game. There's no need to be a gateway or a gatekeeper fighter. You know, I think he's earned his stripes as far as being a strike force and then coming over to the UFC. And if he's not going to be in a championship picture or, let's say, quote-unquote, be in super fights, there's no need for Robbie Lawler to stay in the game. Go ahead, hang him up and do something else that doesn't require you to take punishment. But, you know, man, we can't tell fighters what to do. All we can do is go off what we see. And, you know, he's been in a lot of battles. And at some point in time, you got to know when to say when. I'm not telling Robbie Lawler to retire, but I'm saying if he's not going to be in the championship picture as being a former champion, then what are you really standing around for? So, you know, I'm a fan of Robbie Lawler, and, you know, we'll see what happens down the road. But I do like your assessment of Nico Price, and I like your assessment of Jeff Neal. I think Mike Perry is going to be in for a thorough surprise when he gets in there to Jeff Neal. I'm predicting Mike Perry loses that fight. So, we'll see what happens, man. I don't know whether or not you know this, but this came out this week, too. Derek Lewis is going to fight on the February 8th card with John Jones and Chico. And he is fighting Aleir Latifi, who is moving up to heavyweight. I don't like this fight for Derek Lewis at all. But, you know, I had some pushback on it on Twitter with people saying there aren't the other heavyweights in the division are taken. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. I just feel this is a bad matchup for Latifi coming up from 205 to heavyweight. Why would the UFC get him a top five heavyweight? Why wouldn't you get him a guy ranked 10 through 15? You've been doing that for Greg Hardy since he's been in the UFC. Why wouldn't you do it from a guy coming up from light heavyweight? Now, this is a drastic change. Fighting from 205 up to, I think, a heavyweight can weigh 265. This is drastic. So, that news kind of, I found that kind of curious. But I guess Derek Lewis, you know, he signed on for the fight because of his hometown of Houston. So I guess he just fighting whoever they gave him, and they gave him Aleir Latifi. I just don't like the fight for Latifi, but we'll see what happens. Anything can happen because he has heavy hands, and maybe he can catch Lewis, and we'll see what happens. But I just don't like the fight for Lewis because it does nothing for him. Because fans are going to say, you're supposed to be him. He's coming up on light heavyweight. You know, you are established heavyweight. You're a top five heavyweight. So he has nothing to gain and basically everything to lose in this fight.
Yeah, I that's another one that I actually didn't see the news for. I mean, I had heard about it, but I didn't see it when it came out. And I just saw someone else talking about it. And, like I said, I've been super out of the loop lately. I don't know. I'm lost on the sauce over here. But, it does nothing for Lewis, so it's kind of sad. Like, he was just this time last year, like, he was just fighting DC for the title, you know? And then he fought, he pretty much like a title eliminator or fight with Ngannou, and that fight just, you know, we all saw how that went. It kind of just was a dud. So it's just kind of sad. See, Lewis was just fighting, you know, in big fights, and now he's fighting, a fight that does nothing for him, a guy that we know he can beat, you know, a guy that we know he can knock out, and I think he probably will. But a win over a light heavyweight, really, it's not going to do much for Derek Lewis. So that's a disappointing fight. I'm really not even excited to see it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw it, I was just like, wow, this what we at now? So, you know, maybe Latifi can come in and maybe use his speed as a 205er, as a former 205er against Lewis. But I'm thinking that his body has to get used to fighting that heavyweight as well and carrying the weight of heavyweights. He's going from 205 up to guys can wear 265. So that is a drastic change. We'll see how he performs. But I do like the Chiesa RDA fight. I don't think I commented on that. I think this is definitely a step up in competition for Chiesa. I mean, beating a washed up Diego Sanchez does nothing for me. But I think if he can beat RDA, now that would be a name to put on his resume. Yo, you there?
Oh, I didn't realize I had my mic on mute. Yeah, so RDA is kind of like the guy to beat
at welterweight in a way, because, you know, Covington beat RDA, interim title. Usman beat RDA, got a title fight. So it just seems, you know, I'm not saying that's going to be the case here, but it just does seem like that, you beat RDA and you're, like, in the title picture. Like, Leon Edwards also just beat RDA, I'm pretty sure, and now he's, you know, in talks of the title. I know he's right there. You know, he could be, like, the next guy after this, after 245. So we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, we know this was a great show. Like, we definitely covered a ton of stuff tonight. I'm happy with everything, all the points we were able to hit. This definitely went really well. You know, I love these Friday night shows.
Yeah, man, we covered a lot tonight. We talked about Conor McGregor. We talked about John Jones, Reyes. We talked about I don't think we got too deep into Shevchenko's next fight. We talked about Jacare move up to 205. We talked about a lot tonight. I wanted to talk about Amanda Nunes, but I guess we'll talk about that next Friday, and we'll probably dig deeper into Shevchenko next Friday also. And there's no UFC this week, but there is Bellator. I think Michael Venom Page is fighting somebody this weekend. That just goes to show you how much I follow Bellator.
man, I thought you loved
then, Nah, man, I don't mess with the B-leagues too much. But I got into a little Twitter spat this week that I wanted to bring up, but we'll probably talk about that next week also. But it was quite funny. I got into a little back and forth with this guy on Twitter, and I ended up following him because he actually made some good points, and it wasn't one of those ignorant back and forth where you just don't respect what the other person is saying. So I actually gave him a follow. So, you know, it was actually fun. It actually kind of reminded me of when me and you used to go back and forth on it on Twitter when we first met.
yeah, but we actually, that's funny. We actually both had a lot of, probably both a lot of good points, though.
Yeah, we had so many good points. We started our own podcast, so, you know, that's how it goes. It's Friday night. Go ahead.
No, I just said tonight is number 117, if anybody didn't know, episode 117.
Yeah, man. Damn, 117. Whew. That means we probably hit 150 right at the start of maybe right in the middle of summertime. Should be right around summertime.
Yeah. Yeah, 150 will be a big show. I mean, we usually do big every 50, like 50, 100. You know, we like to prop up, you know, our landmark shows. It's a crazy thing. 2 years fly by. We've done so many quality shows, and we've definitely developed a lot. So it's nice to celebrate the small wins.
Yeah, man. So it's Friday night, man. Got any last words?
Nah, no last words. Everybody just enjoy the weekend. Be safe. Also, I just want to – this will be my last thing is 2019, you know, there's only a couple weeks left of 2019, and I know it might seem like we still got a whole another month and you still got the holidays go through, but, you know – we all know time flies. That'll be over in a second. So there's really only a couple weeks left of 2019. And what I just want to say right now is that this year for our show has been unbelievable. And, even our first year was really good. But, like, this year specifically has been unbelievable. And people have been so supportive in listening to our podcast on a consistent basis. And I just appreciate that so much. And, you know, that really means a lot to me that people keep coming back to view and listen to our show. over and over. So, you know, we definitely, we try to be consistent and put in our best for this content and always keep up to date with the topics that we talk about and give our best, you know, input on the topics that we talk about. So it definitely feels good to see people, you know, acknowledging that by coming back and always listening to our episodes. So thank you so much to everybody who listens to us and supports us.
Yeah, and echo what my man Key said. Thank you for your support. Thank you for lending us your ear. Every time we try to give you a good product, we make sure that we're very knowledgeable on what we talk about. We don't consider ourselves experts, but we do consider ourselves pundits or MMA. Want to shout out Scrap News. You know, if you listen to our podcast and you want to follow me and Keys even more, want to see what our other takes on MMA is, you can read our articles on the Scrap, on the scrap.com. Me and him both write for them. So in closing, this Friday night, everybody have a good weekend. Have fun. Take care of each other. Live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest. Tell somebody you love them. And always have one good laugh every day. And then closing, like always, my man Keys loves this part. Peace!
Ha ha ha.